Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 24th of April, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. This Wednesday is another Man Down Mashup Wednesday where we combine both shows. On the clock with Erin Green and Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry to discuss what's in the news. Today, I am expecting representatives from the World Athletics Relays 2024 to join me in studio for the first portion of the shows today to talk about the exciting, enthralling, and crucial Olympic qualifying event, World Athletic Relays, Chase the Sun from Paradise to Paris. While we wait for their arrival, I guess we're going to talk a bit about what's in the news. I have a live read for you today. This portion of the show is brought to you by Bahamian Contractors Association, inviting you to our monthly membership luncheon this Wednesday, today, April the 24th. Environmental health and safety professional Eustacia Jennings will be the guest speaker on the topic, why is environmental health and safety important for construction? That's today at noon at the Poop Deck Sandy Port. That's Poop Deck West. Special lunch price for the event is $50. Again, an invitation extended to the general public to join Bahamian Contractors Association's monthly membership luncheon today at Poop Deck West. So, as we await our guests, I have lined up stories from yesterday's Tribune and Guardian, and then in today's Tribune and Guardian, a number of interesting stories. One that ties in directly to yesterday's stories, diversity program prevents youth detentions on sexuality. There's another story in here that I thought was also very interesting. Darvel says DNA protocols to be released shortly. Good morning, Mr. Newry. How you do?
Good morning, Erin. It's a pleasure to be here once again for a mashup Man Down Wednesday. I'm eager to see what you brought in on the table today to discuss. I'm excited. I'm always hoping that your guests come in.
Yeah, I'm excited about that conversation.
Yeah.
In particular, man, we've got, I think, over 40 teams coming down for the World Relays.
Yeah, any names? Any particular teams?
Yeah, actually.
Jamaica coming?
Jamaica's definitely going to be there.
United States coming?
Definitely.
And all the rest after that, I ain't entertained anyway. Only those
UK,
two.
Ireland, Bahamas.
Gravy.
India.
Gravy. Bahamas is here. Once I see Bahamas.
Netherlands.
No, this is gravy. The two meet, and then the Bahamas, and then gravy.
The two meets, then the Bahamas.
Then gravy.
Then gravy.
Yeah. I can eat chicken without gravy, but I need the chicken. Jamaica, United States, and after that is gravy.
Listen, if you want to see who is attending World Athletic Relays this year, you can go online and search this article. Entry lists for World Athletics Relays Bahamas 24 published. If you go to the World Athletics website, there's a link to the relays. Or if you search for the relays website, you can find this article there.
and not wanting to stop you because I think he's going to read something just now in terms of details. But I always wanted to know the benefits of hosting the relay. Right?
Yeah.
No, not a political conversation.
Yeah.
Just explaining, boy, we get this. And I'd say, oh, I see why we lobby for these things, man. You know, and like, how much money do we make? Or it's not, perhaps it's not about making money. Well, perhaps it's about exposure. But if it's about exposure, how much exposure do we get?
And how do we measure that?
How do we measure that?
And then how do you measure the exposure? And then how do you measure a return on investment?
Yes.
In terms of exposure, of that investment of exposure.
Is that a suitable conversation, or you have to wait till after these things are held, or before these things, like weeks before these things are, but not definitely not during.
Well, the autopsy or the assessment of the particular event must happen after the event, but we've held scores of these events.
And I don't know the return.
So on Friday, I'm hoping Mr. Stanley Mitchell can join me again. He is a sports historian and documentarian, and we're going to have a conversation on that, the value of investing in these international events.
See, mind you, I know hotels, the two big hotels, hold events all the time, right? They partner with these international groups, but there's an assessment where they make profit.
Yeah.
And the profit don't be small. They make profit. They go in it to make profit, not a multiplying effect of exposure. The exposure coming no matter what,
right?
But if they're not going in to make profit, if it don't make sense, it can't make dollars. And I want to know, if do we go into these things to make profit, or are we assuming the loss for the exposure, but we cannot evaluate what the exposure is? There's no dollar value. And mind you, there's dollar value in everything. And do they owe me a duty of care to explain the dollar value? Or can I do guesswork? It's worth billions of dollars.
So absolutely, any of the taxpayers' money that's invested in anything, there's a duty of care that the state explain to the people the rationale behind the investment, what the return on investment is expected, and what is actually achieved.
What if there's a return not to the government who made the investment, but in turn to private entities like the hotels, the foreign hotels? They get all the money.
But if any taxpayer dollars were involved, there's still an obligation to declare to the public how their tax dollars were used and where the return on investment was realized.
What if the return on investment is jobs? Can jobs be the equalized? Hey, at least we provided jobs, and these people weren't going to have no money if this thing didn't come about. Can that be the explanation? Don't worry about the money we spent.
It is the explanation. Should it be the explanation the way that it's presented? No.
No?
No. It's insufficient for a politician to say, well, look, this will result in 200 jobs. What does 200 jobs mean? What's the pay scale? How high above the poverty line does it sit, right? What's the time scale for the job? In many instances, the jobs that they tout are temporary jobs, right? And once the job is done, it leaves people now outside of a system.
Hmm.
What is the value of said job? What is the burden that comes with said job? For instance, many people are vilified, right? Because they've made a determination that it actually costs me more money to go to work than it does to be unemployed.
Mm.
And so many people get sort of trapped in this space where they can't raise the resources required to be a part of the working class.
Diminishing returns, I think.
And the question is, are government agencies, civil society organizations, or private sector institutions calculating the value of the job? For instance, I get a minimum wage job. I can't afford to move myself from home to that job because the money that I've earned is already spent on the rent. It's spent on the insurance, right? And I can't afford to actually get to the job. This is why one of the recent or modern successes of the tourism-related industry unions is their public their private transportation system for union members, because they understand what percentage of the salary is extracted just in transportation costs, and they realize that they can help their union members realize more value from their individual checks by creating a collective transportation system. Right? So just saying jobs is not sufficient. You need a critical assessment of the value of each job. And then, right, of the value of each job to each staff member.
You say critical assessment?
Yes.
That sounds like garbage. You see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny though.
Mm-hmm.
Critical assessment, garbage.
Yeah.
You see it?
I see the culture that is slowly slipping in, right? That's why I wanted to have a conversation before the end of the month on the role of the public intellectual.
The public intellectual.
Right. That's the person that pontificates on social, legal, economic issues that impact the average citizen, right? They engage in public critical interrogation of these things. And then you find that in the space now, that people's response to public intellectualism or public discourse or critical analysis of national or public issues, there's this backlash.
Yes.
Right?
You should not talk on these issues.
Right.
There's roles for people. There are doers, there are watchers, and those who critique. And the people are tired of people who critique.
But that's their business. Mm. So what? So what if you're tired of people that critique? If you're tired of people that critique, you get a couple of options. Stop living. Stop doing things. People will critique everything. Just stop. You want to be a professional, but you don't want to be subject to critique? Then stop being a professional. Just stop your job. Stop doing it. And then you wouldn't be subject to critique.
I know we have a number of other conversations to have, but what I notice when we host it, and I see in inverted commas, the models, Miss Universe pageant.
Right.
When the Bahamas hosted it, no, I changed that. When Atlantis hosted it, Atlantis was promoted in details and see, but they didn't mention anything about the Bahamas and what to come to the Bahamas for.
Mm-hmm.
Then right after that, they went to Israel to host the next Miss Universe. And they show sites of Israel and where all the contestants could have gone and the culture. And they say, how come we didn't do that on our own to sell the Bahamas as a whole product? Then I realized that Miss Universe wasn't the Bahamas' guess. It was Atlantis' guess.
Yeah.
That's why they promoted Atlantis, why you must come to Atlantis and not necessarily come to the Bahamas. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So I want to know, is this World Relay game our guess, right? That they come in to promote the Bahamas and we'll infuse it into their commercials or whatever it is? Or it just happens that it's happening in the Bahamas, so the advertisement itself is just the word, it's happening in the Bahamas, that's it, full stop. That's the advertisement right there.
Mm-hmm.
The listing that it's happening in the Bahamas, but not selling us as a destination.
I got you. We get back to that conversation because lots of us lamented at the fact that for years, Atlantis Paradise Island ads never included the words the Bahamas in them. Let's go to the phone line, though. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green.
Good morning.
I hope you're doing well, and Brother Newry.
Yes, blessings.
Yes, sir, blessings. Thank you.
Brother Newry was asking some very good questions. Now, we have a track record of these relays in the Bahamas already, and we should have had the latest report on the relays in the Bahamas, which would give you some insight as to the questions that Brother Newry is asking. He's asking some very good questions. And your insight, Ms. Green, is very good. I like the way how you, if I might use the word, interrogate.
Yes, sir.
Or examine the things that are in front of you. But you should have had in your presence right now a report of the last relays that was held in the Bahamas and what were the specifics as it relates to advertising. What kind of money? Did we make any money from these games? Because I keep hearing them talk about exposure and this and that and the next thing. And those are good questions, but you should be able to have given us some type of answer or some record of what has gone on before, because this is not the first time it's happening here.
Well,
do you have that?
No, sir. I appreciate your critique. The reason that we're sort of having this conversation is because I was actually scheduled to have a different type of conversation with representatives from the World Athletic Organization.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I wasn't prepared today to have that discussion. My intention was to gather as many of the resources as possible with the assistance of Mr. Stanley Mitchell to host that sort of part of the conversation on Friday in the sports segment with a sports historian, you know, who would have...
That's a good move on your part. I like that. I like the way how you're thinking and you're moving in the direction. That's fine. But now you have what is called the LOC, the Local Organizing Committee.
Yes.
We also had some challenges with the last LOC committee with the Carista game.
Yes.
Where there is tremendous confusion in the minds of the public right now, where the chairman of that committee made some cryptic remarks against the Auditor General, not understanding the constitutional responsibilities of the Auditor General.
Yes, sir.
The remarks were very disrespectful, very nasty, and it's unbecoming of a representative of the government.
Or the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, even.
Or the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. And, you know, if we're going to have this kind of foolishness going on, you have to ask yourself, what is happening to the taxpayer's money? Because it isn't his personal money, and it isn't the committee's personal money, it's the taxpayer's money. And it's unfortunate that I heard remarks from him repeatedly on your radio station and other radio stations more than I heard from the minister himself.
Yes,
and
sir.
Why that was done that way, I don't know. But it certainly didn't put the Bahamas in a good light insofar as that event is concerned. And he mentioned about, I think, the chairman of the Carista Games. He made some remark, the president or wherever he was, say how good the games were. What more would you expect him to say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you scratch your back and you say, I feel okay. But the point is, that is a personal remark. And he has a right to express that view. But we have to go a little bit deeper, Ms. Green and Brother Newry. And I'm glad that Ms. Green is working on that. She's going to dig a little deeper. And that is a good thing. But hopefully in the future, you'll be able to educate the public as to the purpose of these games, whether we're making any money, what kind of money we're making, or we just have a couple of jobs paying a couple of dollars for a week or two. No, not even a week, but a couple of days. And
yes.
Then it's all over and say we had some jobs. Thank you very much, Ms. Green and Brother Newry.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
I see the professor asks the purpose of the games. Yes. Usually when we ask for that, we are dismissing to say, hey, it promotes the Bahamas, full stop. And no matter, don't concentrate on the money spent. It's the overarching
opportunity for exposure.
For exposure. That's the response.
Right.
But I'd also like to say that the Minister of Sports will be speaking in the House today to explain the report today. So we will conclude that the Auditor General was a snapshot, but not necessarily the truth after the minister speak today.
Okay.
He is going to explain that it was profitable, that it was a good thing, and that we'll continue to spend our money the same way that was done before.
That's fabulous, because tomorrow I'm going to have some poets on.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to celebrate Poetry Month.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better poetry than that which emanates from the House of Assembly. Mm-hmm. When they get into high gear. Oh, how poetic they are. I hope the minister can bring clarity.
Yeah, we'll see by the end of the day and see if there'll be some cheering or some gnashing of teeth.
Yes. And I await tomorrow's newspapers.
Yeah.
So I could get a sense of what went down. in the House of Assembly. I listen, but then I want other critical ears to use, right? Mm-hmm. Other critical ears to use to critically interrogate what it is I assess myself.
Yes.
It's going to be really interesting. Here's another part of the conversation with World Athletic Relays mm-hmm. that I'm excited about. It ties into what we're talking about. The World Athletic Relays World Athletics hosts a number of activities, events, throughout their 2-year and 4-year cycles.
Wait, hold on. Who is this group again? This is the Bahamas or this is an international group?
No, this is an international organization, World Athletics. World Athletics is a new name. Mm-hmm. We refer to them as IAAF.
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
Right? So this organization, IAAF, was founded in 1912.
Okay.
Following the Sweden Olympics, right? And International Amateur Athletic Federation was founded as the world governing body for the sport of track and field athletics. During the 10 decades that followed, athletics went under many changes, and those changes, political and socioeconomic, all kinds of changes, were reflected in a name change in 2001, where they became the International Association of Athletics Federations. And then in 2019, the name was changed to World Athletics,
mm-hmm.
right? So this organization hosts a number of global events. They have the indoor championships, under 20 relays, cross country, race walking, and road running.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was excited to, if we had the time, explore the viability of the Bahamas becoming a host or a part of the host rotation for more than just the relays, right? Because then we could have a conversation about return on investment.
I love the idea, or I noticed the idea that you said that the World Athletics is hosting it, not the Bahamas is hosting it. That's two different.
No, it's their organization. It's their event, World Athletics event.
Let me explain my.
Yeah.
When they come here, who's in charge? That's why I'm saying, who's hosting it? I'll try explain it again. When the CARIFTA came here, we were in charge, so therefore we facilitated charge?
No, we weren't in charge. This is why the LOC. The local organizing committee.
The Bahamians. They was in charge. We was in charge.
No.
The Bahamians?
I think what is implied by local organizing committee is that there's another body responsible, but we create a body in the host country
mm-hmm.
that will manage affairs on the ground.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so any country that's hosting a CARIFTA event or a World Athletics event, producer, let's go to that call, would have implemented or composed a local
logistics thing.
Operating committee.
So more likely there's an LOC for this World Athletics thing?
And that's what the caller you referred to as professor
yes.
referred to,
mm-hmm.
that there would be a local organizing committee for the Bahamas World Relays.
The same local organizers who did the CARIFTA?
No, I don't assume. I wouldn't assume that it will be the same.
Did they announce anyone new?
I have to do the research on that.
So it could be someone new.
Could be a different composition entirely.
And it could be the same people.
That's possible, yes.
Okay.
Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good
morning. How you do?
Not to take you off your subject, but you know the police said if you see something, say something.
Yes, sir.
This morning, just around 7 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
there's a public jitney,
mm-hmm.
JN-122, which is a dark blue jitney. The number 16 route is written in pink.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving erratic and most irresponsible. You know, he took a shortcut to the yard where Quality Home Center is,
mm-hmm.
on the corner of Carmichael and Blue Lou. So the police would just check the camera. They need to start to do something with these public vehicles, because you know when you are transporting
public, yes,
you know the public, you have to be responsible, and there should be a certain speed limit that public vehicles are allowed to drive.
Yes,
you know, so if they're serious, they really need to just check the camera by Quality Home Fabric, and they'll see actually the police, mm-hmm. they'll see the jitney, the bus driver, he actually cut through the yard. I mean, a radical right almost, you know. There's some cars. In fact, he came from Carmichael Road, from Royal Stables Church, in the same manner, overtaking and so on.
Yes,
so
sir.
They need to just check those cameras on the road and then follow and chastise that driver. You know, he should not actually be driving.
Yes, sir.
And also on Fort Monticule now, we noticed that the jet ski is now running an operation from there, and there where the swimmers are swimming. And they need, if that's going to happen, going to continue, they obviously need to find a place where those jet skis actually can assemble, because obviously they not going to tell something tragic happen. That's disconcerting.
Let me ask you a question. Sorry. With the jet skis and Montague. I noticed you mentioned Fort Montague. So are the jet ski operators loading and offloading passengers on the western side of Montague Beach?
You know, the eastern side where the ramp is that people go on to the roadside and so on?
Yes.
That's where they're actually operating from. And that's an area where swimmers are normally... congregate.
All right, so
you know?
I'm familiar with observing jet skis on the eastern side. There's a there's a dock, right? There's like a jetty.
Yes.
Immediately behind the bathroom on the eastern side, which I have to note is still not opened yet, although all indications are that all the equipment that was stolen has been replaced and the bathroom is functioning. It just has not been opened yet.
Almost a year now.
Over two and a half years now, easily. But
they are operating in the same area where the swimmers are normally be.
Okay.
And to the west of actually the ramp where the boat picks up people.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and also the beach and park, they need to clean the area because you know there are lots of CV and they're not paying attention to the beach.
Right, and they need to clean it with hand rakes and not with tractors because there's still an ecological and environmental concern, right, that you may be destroying valuable...
But to be quite honest, Aaron, there was a beach sweeping equipment that the government under Shenandoah Carpet had purchased, right, under the last government. And then that actually, that was down for, I understand, a $35 part. Now, the public needs to investigate that, you know, because that's lousy.
See, listen.
Thousands of dollars equipment let us down for $35 part.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
That's public money.
See, I'm concerned about large equipment on beaches, right? Because operators need to be trained so that they can observe and identify flora and fauna in case they need to stop their work and call the relevant agencies and authorities, right? But
yes.
If you buy in a machine to clean seaweed off the beach, then I would like to see a policy paper that says to me, we're going to collect the seaweed, we're going to wash it, desalinate it, we're going to make it available for purchase or pickup by NGOs that are doing upcycling projects like turning seaweed into fertilizer, turning seaweed into pressed particles, like in the Lower Caribbean, they turn in sargassum seaweed into pallets, right?
I agree. You know, we don't do enough recycling here. You know, there's lots of material. Even the old car tires that people like discard, they can actually be shredded and also make into something, you know, useful.
Listen,
yeah, we don't do a good job of recycling in this country.
A company like Bahamas Striping could be, right, they could invest, divert resources to a partnership with the Sustainability and Research Center at the University of the Bahamas to determine whether they can produce, right, sustainable rubber from tires and asphalt composite for parking lots, for carports, for small paving projects that may be more durable than the asphalt in this environment, but also may have a drainable, right? Like they have a function where water is able to drain through the asphalt into the lower substrate.
Yes, I agree. And the roads will last longer and it'll be less, you know, maintenance.
Right.
But we need to, you know, to research that, you know?
Yeah, that's just one thing. Another thing is that every park in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas could have equipment for kids and obstacles and activities designed with or partially composed of ornaments and things made like swings made from tires.
Tell them, yes. Yes.
I mean, yes, you could have hammocks, great, you could have chairs, you could make flamingo chairs, rocking chairs.
Yes.
There are all kinds of things that could be done with the right system, structure, and organization.
Yes.
Thank you.
Your pleasure. Have a great day.
Absolutely.
But the police need to look into that bus driver.
Oh, no,
that,
in fact.
That cameras, because that's, you know.
Without a doubt,
that's
sir.
That's erratic. Thank you.
Yeah, man, I want to say thank you, Mr. Nuri. That is the type of unexpected detour that I love. That type of detour, unexpected, just you say, I know this may be off. I love that. You know the type I don't love? The ones on Bay Street, where they close off portions of Bay Street entirely with no notice, despite having hundreds of miles of road leading into Bay Street to provide notice that road users should avoid this area or be subject to long delays. There's lots of exciting things to talk about with the World Athletic Relay Organization. Again, Mr. Nuri, we are regular hosts. We are in the rotation for the World Athletics Relays. But imagine cross-country, race walking, and potentially road running throughout the archipelago.
Somebody said, like, imagine the traffic.
No, no, we don't have to do it in New Providence.
Yeah.
We don't have to do it in New Providence,
right?
Do you
have any island that can host that with the number of
guests and attendees? Well, see, the beauty of this thing is, right, that you could put in a bid like 2 years out, but I don't even think 2 years is sufficient. I think you put in your bid like 4 years or 6 years or 8 years out. So with a good system, structure, and organization.
Sound like we're importing labor again.
We could organize ourselves, give ourselves 8 years' time, pick a family island destination, and spend that 8 years diligently focused on
didn't
creating...
Didn't we do that for the Bahamas Games?
No, we didn't.
Didn't we supposed to have something in Andres?
We were supposed to have the sailing portion of the event in Andres.
But what happened?
There was never an explanation provided as to why the venue was changed. I could speculate.
I like how you have big dreams.
I could speculate. Speculating don't require big dreams. I could speculate, but I think a part of it is that the venue that was selected for the venue that was selected for the regatta was not suitable. It could not accommodate the largest of the fleets, right? So I don't think it could accommodate the A class, and the regattas that typically take place at that venue are B class and C class. That's what I was told by a couple of observers and witnesses and regatta goers, but we did not get a clear explanation. The other explanation I relied on was that they did not consider the number of individuals who would want to converge on the island for that portion of the Bahama Games. And then the third consideration is, of course, due to budget constraints. Producers, 10:38, let's go to a break. And then when we get back from the break, PM suggests marital rape won't happen under his administration. How do you know, sir? You don't live in people's bedrooms? Or maybe that's not what you were saying, eh? Maybe that's not what you were saying. Anyway, when we get back from the break, we're going to delve into that article. You're on the clock with Erin Green on this Man Down Mashup Wednesday with Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
What boss man was saying in the back there just now.
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool.
I can't afford to pay that. And you're always crying palm out. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIBRateIncrease.com.
Get ready for another exciting Fish Fry Friday, May 3rd at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau. Kicking off the month of May, celebrating Nurses Month. Night Nurse. From 6:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., featuring the Big Band Visage and DJ Beats. When you're coming back, Santa, when you're coming to give me medicine. We salute all the nurses as we celebrate Nurses Month at Fish Fry Friday.
My girl call her Nax if I leave home. Well, I tell she a real close. Girl, I almost did.
Admission $25 general, $55 for the Bahamian buffet at Vacation Cafe and the party. All government workers get $5 off their entry with your work ID. You can win passes to dine at Vacation Cafe and passes to the water park. So make your plans to be at Fish Fry Friday. For the best in Soca Bahamian and your favorite old school jams. Fish Fry Friday, Margaritaville, downtown Nassau, 12 Old Palm, May 3rd.
Morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I know I read that headline, but let's get into some text before we transition. Good morning, Erin. Hope all is well. What's going on with BPL? Man, the staff say in the union, man, gone quiet on them after their meeting with the PM 2 Fridays ago. That's strange. Staff members are upset with the union.
That don't make no sense to me.
What doesn't make any sense?
If you are part of the union, you go to union meetings, you bring it up. You don't come to the public and say, my union president is not representing me. You go to the meeting. You have shop stewards to voice this. Maybe because I'm more union-oriented, make it seem that this commentary makes no sense. It seems to be outside because that's not what union people do. We go to our meeting and make noise, mash up things. So the idea that someone say, hey, he's not making noise, means this person have never been a part of the union, because that don't make no sense to us. That's not union talk. That's idle talk. Union, we go into the president. Boss, let's make money. Let's make some noise. You know? And if you don't make noise, we make noise.
But maybe this is somebody...
Outside the union, yeah.
Clearly. No, maybe this is somebody who followed all your steps.
No. Have you seen any noise made by anybody except the union president?
I mean, maybe this is the first squeak.
But we don't squeak like this. We squeak on the job. Not calling talk shows. No, that's not, this is not union talk. This is idle talk.
Dear Texter.
You stop talking about union because you're not a part of it. Join
the
union.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Clearly he's not a part of the union.
You're saying the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Club.
No, because it don't make...
I don't like that type of union.
It breaks our union down.
Is that how your union operates?
And then everything dissolves.
Y'all better be careful because they just passed the gang legislation.
But the politicians and the police are gang.
I mean, I didn't say they weren't. Yeah. I'm just saying that all organizations that think like that and are structured like that and have that type of culture should be wary, because the government passed anti-gang legislation. You got to be careful lest the Supreme Court defines your organization as a gang. Great show as usual. Tell your guests, don't eat gravy before a race because you will have the bellies. Another text, just want to say good morning to everyone except C.A. Nuri. And did they smile? Because obviously they saying hello to you, too. That's how the trick works. Aaron, considering that April 2022 was Earth Day, I deemed this week Earth Week. But Aaron, I want to know, do you care about your environment? My friends and I did a cleanup last weekend and we had to offload our garbage at the dump. We were astonished to see how many feminine hygiene products and diapers polluted the landfill. These materials are unfortunately not biodegradable. So I would like to encourage you to tell your female counterparts to purchase biodegradable feminine hygiene products so we won't end up with a major issue. Happy Earth Day.
It sounds so like a male too. This
you,
like
you
a
thought
male.
The previous text was mm-hmm. shady.
You see, I get offended too because it sounds like a male doing flippancy. Being flippant with regarding women issues. Right? Yeah. You don't approach women any kind of way, you know, especially when you think you're doing good. No, that didn't help. It didn't help the conversation, you know. Let women talk about other women talk. No, let us men stay with these things, man.
I just wondered, where will they purchase them and with what money? You may not be aware of the exorbitant costs of feminine hygiene protection, but that's why organizations...
Particularly since VAT is on it.
Right. There should be no VAT on it, and there should be no duty on it. There should be no taxes associated with feminine hygiene products and feminine hygiene protection. Products, none whatsoever. Furthermore, if you've noticed in the food stores, there's a lack of product on the shelves. Pray tell, where is the policy paper? Where is the government's strategy to ensure that women who bleed, because women who bleed have no control over when they bleed, unless, of course, they put themselves on birth control pills and other medical interventions, women have no choice in the matter. Where is the strategy to ensure equal and equitable access to the highest quality and the safest feminine hygiene protection products? And this is not a matter of, well, you get what you could afford, because young girls who are supposed to be in school and not working can only afford what their parents can afford. I'm having guests from BNT join me next week for an environmental conversation. Another texter says, good morning. Do they know how much those feminine products cost? No, they don't know. That's why,
do they care, actually.
I say to Mr. Nuri, thank you for his acute sensibilities just now in his assessment. So, Mr. Nuri, let's get to this article. There, too, they were in yesterday's papers. PM suggests marital rape won't happen under his administration because he have whistles. And the second PM says divorce is a solution for marital rape. I don't know if he understands math, because how could divorce be the solution to marital rape? A charge, a penalty, like going before the courts and let the court determine what the solution is.
First, we must appreciate the Prime Minister's statement. He suggested that he acknowledged that there is marital rape. And if the person is raped in the marriage, they should not seek any charges. He's saying that what they should do is, after you are raped by your husband, get a divorce.
Let me read from the article, because it's almost like you read this article. While women's groups recently renewed calls for the Davis administration to criminalize marital rape, Prime Minister Philip Davis said yesterday, he is guided by his party's blueprint for change, and a commitment to criminalize marital rape was not in it. Quote, drafting of legislation takes any number of processes, said Davis when asked if the amendment to the Sexual Offenses Act which would affect the change, would be tabled in Parliament. Quote, drafts are given for consideration. So we have a draft that has been given for our consideration. We have not gotten around to it yet. As you would recall, I am guided by my blueprint for change. That sets out the basis for which I ask people to vote for me, and marital rape was not contained in that. I'm not insensitive to it. Does the Prime Minister know what the word insensitive means?
No comment.
I just got to get back. I appreciate it, and I know.
I wonder what Mrs. Davis think about this. Can a woman be raped? And if she's raped, God forbid. That's insensitive how I put it that way, too.
The office of the spouse of the Prime Minister.
That
would be mean. There are references in a series of articles. I can't put my eye on it right now. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Morning, 52. How you do?
I'm not in a fury. You know, I'm okay, but my mind is never eased because the level of consciousness is frightening. And so, yeah, you know, the question is, you know, I don't like to get mixed up in this rape conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the last text who talked about the disposal of the woman, personal feminine hygiene products,
mm-hmm.
His mind is kind of twatted. I think DeAndre made a little joke on the radio, and DeAndre said, come, let's come in this corner, let me talk to you. But he seems to have a problem with women because the world has far greater problems than female and their products. And, you know, with the level of consciousness, being a chemistry junior student, you know, there's so many things that the human body is being inundated with. Take, for instance, you know that glyphosate is found in almost everyone on a molecular level in the United States. I don't know, but yeah, because we've never done it.
Right.
Tied
to the treatment
to rape,
of
right?
plants and crops, yeah.
Yeah, I was almost raped before, but, you know, I was strong enough to push the lady off of me. Mm-hmm. The friend promised me a night over, and just when I wake up, she was on top of me. But, you know what I mean? I was strong enough. I don't know how a man could be raped. So let's cut that conversation right there and then.
Because they're not as strong as you, that's all. I mean, you said it sometime.
Yeah, but I have something very important.
I got you. Yeah, man, say it.
For people who talk, but people who critique, right?
Mm-hmm.
What the mindless idiots have to understand is that people critique based on what's in their brains, not according to what you think. So let's go through history and look at who made discoveries and changes, the non-conformists. Not the people who conform to get along. That's not good for humanity. You mm-hmm. know, and so when as it relates to carbon credits, carbon construct, climate change, there's a farce and there's a lot of disinformation going on which is quite clear. And so when you delve into the carbon accounting and carbon credits and calculating carbon emissions from known businesses, right? There are so many variables. You know, it's hard. It sounds simple, Aaron, but it's very complicated. So when you saw it being intellectually honest with the public, right, bring someone on and then have a Google search person to verify what I'm saying versus what they're saying if they're not on the same page as me. Because I am on page with the truth and common sense. I'm not going to deviate for that for nobody. And so it's very difficult. If somebody came on the radio and said, this is account for this amount of carbon, that's ridiculous, man, Aaron. And on top of that, you know, it's really mind-boggling how we accept things without actually investigating them. Then you would have noticed that the lady was talking about carbon emissions and carbon. Carbon is not the only greenhouse gas. It's not the deadly greenhouse gas. God made carbon dioxide. Why can't we focus on the conversation of anthropogenic versus carboniferous carbon? Carbon is found in every rock. Carbon-14 being the most inundated and the most prevalent. And so the ratio of the amount, Aaron, please, it's driving me out of my mind with educated people coming on the radio spilling foolishness that they know nothing about.
Absolutely.
It's hurtful for me.
Thank you.
And they're cutting people because they don't understand what people are saying when things can easily be documented through data. I said the same thing about vaccinations. You can go online and look at a linear graph and a logarithmic graph and look at adverse events and deaths from vaccinations from the 50s up to 2024, and you can juxtapose the fact that the more arguments they've been adding to these vaccines, they've been having more deaths and more adverse events, that the pharmaceutical companies are able to suppress the truth, just like the sugar industry. Why are we continuing to let capitalism and the status quo drive our minds into an elaborate BS hole?
Okay. 52.
He's vexed today.
Systems, structures, and organizations and critical mass. It's about critical mass. It's about who could achieve critical mass first with their idea, with their narrative. And so the most effective approach is to create the systems and structures and organizations required to propel your thoughts and ideas to a critical mass. But we will never be able to achieve that if people keep shutting down every conversation that makes them uncomfortable. Another text here. The Prime Minister, Fred Mitchell, had already spoken and said marital rape wasn't on their agenda. Y'all didn't believe him, eh? Or?
The chairman did say it is what it is, and we, at least some selected women who believe they could lobby the government, did not pay attention.
Cecil, in this moment, I'm going to tell you, don't do that.
Don't do that?
No. Because I, too, feel great pity and empathy at the same time for women's rights advocates.
They still make a noise. I see you all.
And the way that they organize their campaigns.
It ain't working, though. That was shut down a long time, but they continue to make noise, which is lobby groups should do.
Right. You continue to agitate. You continue to advocate. You continue to lobby for. But at the same time, you must continue to evolve and enhance and advance your strategies, right, to keep pace with a changing political narrative.
Let me ask you this. The advocacy group, the women's advocacy group, are some of the smartest women.
Okay, wait, before you stick a pin, when you say women's advocacy
group. This particular lobby group.
What particular lobby group?
Who's lobbying for this law?
Pause. This is what I'm trying to explain to you.
Go ahead.
You speak of it as if it's a monolith because it's in the government's narrative, right? They've created this narrative that is one body of women advocates working together.
There's nobody. I'm saying there's a body, and the government said there's nobody. There's a minimal amount of women who bring in this stance, and they have not organized themselves to have
That's not what the government said.
That's how it concluded.
But there's a difference between how it concluded and what the government said, what you interpret, what is interpolated and extracted from the conversation.
Mm.
Again, the government has its narrative. It will propel the most politically expedient narrative it can. Its first narrative was, ain't even nobody talking about this.
That's the narrative.
That was the first narrative. But that narrative has been dispelled because we know that there are a number of organizations. Hold on, there are a number of organizations.
Like what?
There's Equality Bahamas. There's Women in Action.
Oh, that come under one umbrella, man.
No, it doesn't.
That's our one group.
See, but here's what you're doing is you are attempting to be a unbiased observer, but you're obviously not unbiased because you are propelling and perpetuating the narrative of the state.
I'm propelling and perpetuating the narrative of the Bahamas. We are not interested in this. My thing is...
No, you're not interested in it because we are interested in it.
If you were the majority, it would have been passed. You're a minority.
No, but pause. You're missing the point. The majority of us are invested in the conversation.
We concluded on the conversation.
How?
You'll see. We concluded a couple times.
Your name ain't Fred Mitchell. I wanted to tell that to the LOC or the LOC chair, the Carifta Committee,
to remind him
that your name isn't Fred Mitchell and neither is yours, C.A. Nuri.
Yes, I can't. Yeah, I agree. I yield at that point.
Let me get back to this article. But the point I was making is that the majority of us are concerned about the issue. However, the majority of us are not on one side of the issue. There are people who are, I want to say terribly, but I no offense, that are intensively engaged in this conversation. And for some of them, their perspective is we must protect the sanctity of marriage, right? We must protect the sanctity of marriage by preventing people who experience rape in their marriage from having legal recourse. There are other people who are invested and say that we think that people should have legal recourse. We just don't think you should call it rape. There are people who are saying, stay out of my bedroom business. And then there are other people, some of which are in the same bedroom with those people saying, please put your eyes on my business because I cannot protect myself alone. I need somebody's help to protect me. Lots of us are invested in the conversation. What I will accede to, though, is that we are all not on the same page. We are not all on the same side, right? There's the obvious distinction of positions. And then on each side, there are varying positions. It's not just the women's side, which I'll presume is just women advocating for this. It's not just the pro-criminalizing marital rape side, where there's a diversity of perspectives and positions. On the we like marital rape side.
We're out of time.
Producer, look at that. Producer, look at that. On the proponents of maintaining the law as it pertains to marital rape, that those perspectives are equally diverse with varying positions coming out of that space.
As we transition and go to the next show, I look at all these smart women who have belonged to these organizations. And they conclude, or I conclude, they ain't as smart as my prime minister. My prime minister say, y'all ain't talking sense. It is what it is.
That Hold on, you mean the prime minister with the whistles?
You gonna keep on reminding him about the whistles?
He ain't give me one yet.
I say if you get an attack, you blow a whistle.
If a whistle is your best strategy to prevent rape, then why don't I have one yet?
Okay.
That's all. Why you ain't giving them out? Or was I supposed to buy my own whistle?
They give them to the Valley Boys. They blown the whistles.
They didn't give them to the prodigal sons. This is the end of the first hour of our Wednesday show, On the Clock with Erin Green. On the next hour, you could see Mr. Newry trying to wrestle the helm, the wheel. But I say, Jesus, take the wheel. We'll be right back. You guys, stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.